This episode is brought to you by our Hosting Handbook mini course. Whether you already started hosting your first Airbnb or you're still trying to soak up as much knowledge as you can, this course is the ultimate cheat sheet. It can transform your hosting from hobby to business. Get our coveted templates that include your welcome book, a turnover handbook, and supply closet spreadsheet, plus other great bonuses you don't want to miss. Our hosting handbook is usually priced at $297, but for a very limited time, you can get all of this for a special price of $27. Head to www.thanksforvisiting.me/hosting handbook to get instant access. Now on to the show.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
Hey, listeners, welcome back to another great week. I am Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting.
You guys. Yes, we nailed that.
You can tell we're back together again and it feels so good.
Yeah, we've been apart, sheltering in place, and we are doing our first episode back together. The ban is not totally lifted, but it's starting to reopen. So that's why Sarah and I are comfortable podcasting together because we have been sheltering in place for quite a while.
All right, Annette, before we get into the episode, though, let's do our favorite thing.
Yep.
Which is share our listeners' short-term rentals. So, listeners, if you're new with us, we have a hashtag that we use on Instagram. It's called hashtag STR, Share Sunday. STR, of course, stands for short-term rental. And who are we sharing this weekend? Who has been using our hashtag?
Holy guacamole, Sarah.
Oh my God, you are so excited to do that.
We've got a new one. A good one. Holy guacamole. I'm going to say it again because it is at Avocado Acres, and they are loyal hashtag users, and it's time to give them some love. All right. It's at Avocado Acres. It's hosted by Sterling in Camarillo Hills, California. Crushes it with the Instagram, but a couple of things specific about his listing highlights his 4K TV and his Wi-Fi speed. This is becoming ever more important. So I think it's that we need to emphasize, take a look at that, everybody. Learn from Sterling. Put that in your listing. Right. Let people know that is truly a very important amenity. The Instagram account is crushing it. Does a great job with showing what the amenities are. One of them, Sarah, is since it is in California and you do have to pay for shopping bags there, he leaves his guests non-disposable shopping bags. So they're not like...
good for the earth in general. They're not, so I love that.
Having to do that. And I just think really make sure that his guest has an amazing time with... the coffee looks amazing. He has a handwritten guest book that I think is a nice touch also. What's his response rate? That's pretty killer too.
His response rate is...
100%.
And looking at his reviews, a recurring theme is that it's a home away from home. And you, listeners, I know you all know that. Number one, he has 79 reviews and across the board, he's got a 5.0 feedback, which is actually, it's really hard to do that because every once in a while, someone might, ding you a little bit on value if someone's they've got different thoughts on what you should be charging or what have you. So to have that many reviews and to be at 5.0 across the board is really special. And I also love that he has gone above and beyond to make his short-term rental feel like not just a rental, it feels like a home. And with this new world of midterm stays and people staying a little bit longer, I know that they're going to find his place to be really comfortable for that.
Yep. Other lesson, just one more takeaway from Sterling. He uses great hashtags in all of his Instagram posts that not only he uses global, like Airbnb, Vrbo, mm-hmm. but he uses a lot of local hashtags mm-hmm. so he can get recognized there. So Sterling.
Great job.
Avocado Acres, thank you. And listeners, make sure to use the hashtag STRShareSunday so we can share you on the show.
All right, let's get on to that episode.
This leads into the guest that we have back on the show today because COVID is still a topic of conversation and is going to continue to be a topic of conversation. And we are wanting to just make sure that we're keeping our pulse on it and giving value to our listeners about preparation for if something were to happen like this again. And maybe it's not even necessarily COVID, but something where your short-term rental has to close down for a little bit. So today we're going to bring on one of our favorite guests. He's been on our show a couple months ago. Don't know the exact episode. You can look it up. But he's been in the vacation rental industry for over 20 years in all capacity, in all areas. And we're going to lean on him and his expertise today. And so we want to welcome back to the show, Steve Trover. Hi, Steve.
Hi there. Thank you for having me back on.
We're thankful to have you back on today. So Steve, Sarah and I are going to lead in with a few questions and just let you kind of riff and give us the answers that you think would be best to share with our audience.
Okay. Sounds great.
Yeah. So Steve, you know, a lot of our listeners, most of our audience is that of short-term rental owners and hosts and co-hosts, whatever you call yourselves, of 1, 2, maybe 5 properties. There are a few of our audience members who run empires, and we're so thankful to have them with us. But no matter if you have 1 or 100 properties that are under your care, what happened mid-March with our calendars going from very full and gearing up into, you know, the high season to all of a sudden being, you know, worse than most Januaries are, was jarring. Had we known now what we know then, what was going to happen, let's say, you know, in December, we knew this was going to happen. November, we knew this was going to happen. What would we have done differently? And I'm asking this question because a lot of educated health professionals are saying we may have another wave of stay-at-home orders. We certainly don't wish that upon the world, but it, you know, what we want to happen, what will happen are 2 different things. So how can our listeners prepare, Steve? What should they do so they can be in this business for the long haul? And then I fully believe that if you're going to do this, you need to do this with the thought of it being a proper and true business. So walk us through that. If this happens again, what can we do now to prepare, and what kind of vision should we have for the long haul with all this?
I just want to take note too that listeners, if you haven't started your short-term rental yet, because I know we have a lot of listeners that are prepping to start their short-term rental, this messaging is still important for you. So it's not just for current hosts. It's also for aspiring short-term rental and vacation rental hosts.
Absolutely. That's a good point. So, you know, I think with any business, and if you, and I like what you said, and that as it pertains to thinking of it as a business, irregardless of whether it's 1 property or 100, you have to have some dry powder, meaning capital set aside for times like this. I went through, you know, numerous issues, not exactly like this, obviously never have been, but from September 11th to 08 to a number of different more localized things such as hurricanes. And this happens all the time in this business, whether it's a fire, an earthquake, some type of thing that happens in the world where it disrupts business. And so you have to be prepared for that to occur if you're going to be in this business, period. That's hard to say right now because we just went through it. So if it's going to happen again and you don't necessarily have that set aside, it's hard to get prepared for that at this stage, right? If it happens quickly. So if it happened in the fall and you weren't able to set aside a nest egg to be able to get through it again, what do you do? Right. And so if I knew this was going to happen, and we don't know, and we may not have a resurgence, and we all hope we don't, but if we do and they shut us down again, more than likely it'll be the same in the sense that the areas that get shut down, they'll shut down short-term rentals. What they don't shut down is longer-term rentals. And I'm not advocating for you to convert your property to a year-round long-term rental, but mid-stay rentals are certainly a thing. And you know, one of the first things I did with my own family, and I saw a lot of people do this, we were locked down for a couple of weeks, and we said, you know what, let's just go rent a vacation rental property for a longer period of time that was allowed. In the state of Florida, that was over 30 days. So we rented a place for 6 weeks, and it got us out of being locked down in our own home for that long duration of time, and we had a great time. And so I think that just like we were talking about you preparing for this potential, I think that the population is also thinking along those lines, in the sense that if this happens again and they were already locked down for that long duration in their house prior, they would be more apt or interested in going to another destination, locking down in place there for a midterm duration, say 30, 60, 90 days. So I think preparing your marketing messaging for that, and it's hard to prepare because you're going to already be taking bookings for that period potentially. And so you have these weeks that are already booked. But obviously, if they lock you down and you can't rent those are going to have to cancel. So this will give you an opportunity to give those guests their money back. And you're probably going to have a non-strict cancellation policy on a go-forward basis anyways, and then book that whole period for a longer period of time. So if I were in this and that, and I had this potential and I had a single property, that's exactly what I would do. I might even get in front of it if I feel confident it might happen, to go ahead and get that booking now. Meaning go ahead and rent the property on a midterm basis in the fall for 60, 90 days. Then I don't have to worry about it. I may not produce as much revenue as I would if I was renting it on a daily or nightly or weekly basis, but I have that comfort. So that's probably the number one thing I would do. And then obviously the first thing I said, if you can set some money aside from what you produce in the summer or from other avenues so that you can get through it, that's key as well. So those are probably the two best things that I can come up with right now as answers to that question. So,
if you don't mind, Stephen, we're kind of putting you on the spot here, but I know our listeners are going to have this question, and it's because I know what exists for my business, but I would love your insight. How does one decide how much they should put aside for their short-term rental? Is there a simple equation? You know, if you make this much a month or a year, you should set aside this percentage. Or how would you advise our listeners to think about what sort of reserve to put aside?
Yeah, so I think about the same as I would a larger scale business. And, you know, I didn't always do this in my businesses. I'm a serial entrepreneur. I've started 15 different companies and gotten into challenging positions because of it. But today I advise a lot of different companies, primarily in the vacation rental industry around the country, and I advise them to have at least 6 months of reserve. Meaning if their company had no income for the next 6 months, they could survive it. Easy to say, hard to do, right? Hard to get there. But that's that, when you have that mindset and you start putting money away and aside over time to get there, and that's your set aside goal, you run efficiently and effectively. And you run your business really in a very profitable manner to be able to get there. And then frankly, when you get to the time frame that you have the 6 months, you have a choice to make. You can put more money into the property or into marketing of the property, or you can continue to operate in a very efficient manner. But at the end of the day, having that money set aside in an account that when we have a rainy day, like the ones that we just went through, you're in good shape, is a critical thing. And I think we've seen a lot of people not do that and not even come close. And companies and large scale companies got in trouble early in this. And it was very clear that they were already in a very tough position to begin with. So I think that those that are going to continue to do this, it's critical that you put that nest egg aside.
For our listeners who haven't opened up their short-term rental yet, but they were going to do it, and then COVID happened and they've been set back, would you recommend they have those 6 months of reserve set aside before they open their doors? Is that something that they can work towards? What is your advice there?
Yeah, I mean, obviously with the potential, if you were going to be buying a property right now and going into the fall, knowing that there's potential of that to be the case, then I definitely would recommend making sure that you have that amount of money set aside before you make that call. We don't know what's going to happen in the real estate market right now. I think that it's just a challenging time to dive in unless you have the resources to do it and have no income for a period of time, because there's a good chance that potentially could happen. And I would pray, if I were to buy a property right now, I'd be booking it on a midterm basis right out of the gates. That's what I'd be looking for, that, you know, 3 month rental, just to get through that period, just to be safe.
Would you set your settings on any OTA, any online travel agency like Airbnb, Vrbo, HomeAway, FlipKey, any of those? Would you set them to 30 days or more right now?
Yeah, I think that's what I would do right now. And there's some emerging OTAs that are focused more, and I think Airbnb's talked about that or is doing that, where they have 30 and 60 and 90 day rentals. So that midterm rental is becoming a significant thing. And you've got everybody working from home right now. I mean, I said, let's coin the phrase work from vacation home instead of work from home. You know?
Yes, I know.
Let's start that hashtag.
I know. We can start doing it. Maybe we'll be the people that do it, like actually go work from vacation. We'll talk to Steve after the show where we can work from vacation. I think, so this is my question. If short-term rentals were to get banned again, are mid-term stays then excluded from that? Like in Florida, would a 30 plus day become excluded from that? Is that a safety zone?
That's what happened here in Florida, and that's what happened in a large part of the United States. In each market, it may be different.
Mm-hmm.
And the ban in the fall may look different than the ban that we just had, because, you know, states, cities, municipalities are more prepared for it this time, and maybe looking back at what they did, that may be a negative, that may be a positive, meaning more may open up to the midterm concept or less may. It's just hard to say. Not a whole lot of logic out there sometimes when it comes to legal components and government affairs as it pertains to our industry. And so it's hard to say, but if you could look at what was done in your particular market, you know, in this last one, you can probably, you know that it's more than likely going to be similar, if not the same.
How would you advise a short-term rental owner to figure out what their appropriate pricing should be for a midterm stay? If they know, you know, let's use one example. But if a room, a one-bedroom apartment usually rents for long-term $1,000, I'm going to keep these numbers really easy, but short-term rental, they can gross $2,500 a month. How do they find out what's appropriate for a midterm stay?
Yeah, what we found in most cases and in most markets is that you can get 3 weeks worth of revenue to get to a month. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So, and we used to actually calculate it in our system that way. So we would multiply 21 times the nightly rate to get to our monthly rate. And we were able to, generally speaking, achieve that, which is really, you know, 75% occupancy or close to it.
Right.
And not a bad number to get to. And I think there's a lot of demand for this type of rental right now for the very reason that everybody's working from home. So, I think that, you know, it's really great. I've been advocating for working from home for years now. And I think a lot of companies aren't going back to the office. You know, Facebook and a lot of large corporations, and I think small the same way. I have clients that just didn't feel like they could deal with having at-home workers that are all of a sudden going, hey, this is working out really great.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, a lot of team members, employees like it as well. So I see that happening irregardless of whether we see it, you know, this happen again. So it might be a great way to market to that group now. I think there's going to be more demand than ever.
Okay. I just want to go back really quick. You said take your nightly rate times 21, and mm-hmm. that should come up with what you feel comfortable on the midterm stay. Because that does make sense. You said then that would put you at 75% occupancy, which I think most short-term rental owners would feel that that's a good occupancy.
Not mad about that at all.
Right. What are some trepidations you should have though about a midterm rental? Because I will say, how do you have this month long or 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
How do you politely let that person know though, like, we want to have some controls on electricity and like gas, you know, things like that, that normally if it's a nightly person and they want to crank up the heat or the AC or whatever it may be, you don't really mention it. But what's the like way to finesse not to abuse the amenities, I guess, whatever those amenities may be that you offer? What's a way for hosts to just address that? And yes, you know, it is your home for this month, but there does need to be some controls in place. And I just don't know how you can like let them know. And like, can we get in during that stay to like, hey, I want to peek around and make sure they're not trashing the place, you know? Like, how is it, like, do we offer weekly cleanings? How do we maneuver those, I guess?
So a couple questions or answers to those questions. Just to give some background, I managed at peak 350 properties in three different destinations. And so we had a lot of monthly reservations, as you can imagine, even pre the idea of mid-state or work from vacation home type concept. But and you know, we had those same concerns as did our homeowners, and so we had to address them. What we found though is that in general, and almost in every case, the people that rent for longer periods of time actually use less utilities than more. They had smaller group sizes. They were acting not like they were on vacation where you're partying or, you know, doing a lot more in that regard. And they were just acting more like people living in a house. And so therefore, we almost always saw the utility bills lower. The other concern was, you know, someone's in the house for 6, 8, 10, 12 weeks, and we don't get to see it. You know, we're so used to every week or every few days going in and doing a clean and being able to inspect. And so what we would do is we would require mid-stay cleans throughout the duration of that stay. So we'd at least do one mid-stay in a month. You know, after about 2 weeks' time, we'd come in, and then, you know, every 2 weeks thereafter. So maybe actually two in a month is what we required. Now, just like, you know, the utilities, what we did find, it was actually less of a concern, again, because of the type of use. Generally speaking, there was, you know, the anomalies here and there where people did, you know, cause damage. But for the most part, people that used the properties for longer durations of time had less wear and tear and less, you know, dirt and grime than somebody that's staying there for a short period of time. Because, you know, you come on vacation, you're kind of there to party, so to speak. And I don't mean party in the drunken sense, but you're just having a really good time and you're just doing things you don't do in your normal life. Whereas most people, I think, treated them better. So I think they're good concerns to watch. I don't think, based on our, you know, 20 years of doing it and 300 plus properties, that it really became a big issue in most cases.
Yeah, no, you just made me at peace. Like, oh yeah, that makes total sense.
Any insight on how we can put our guests at ease that if we do want to impose a midterm clean or every 2 week clean, how to navigate that with the concerns of COVID and bring another human into the space?
Obviously, that's a new concern, right? That we didn't have as much. I mean, even when doing it normally, sometimes people don't, you know, part of the reasons that people like to rent a vacation rental or a rental property on a short-term basis is there's less of that than there is in a hotel environment. So it's all about privacy. So yeah, you definitely have to have a different cleaning protocol, that you're going to do it in a certain way, that the, you know, cleaners are going to wear masks and gloves, and that we're going to do it in a scheduled time when you guys are away from the property. And so it's a lot more challenging to do currently than it was back then. But I do have clients doing just that now, and it seems to be well received.
So Steve, in our market, we Annette and I host in urban markets, and they're almost always short-term stays. I mean, we have one-night stays are not uncommon for us, or at least they weren't prior to March. So besides a vacuum, is there anything else we should equip our guests with that you can think of who are staying longer? Are we required to, do you think, since we do offer hospitality, to keep them stocked with paper goods? What are your thoughts on those
memories? Yeah, I think, thankfully, the massive toilet paper shortage seems to have
what was that about?
I have no idea. But it seems to, you know, have not been an issue on more recently. But I think if we see something like that arise, and who knows what the next shortage will be, I think that would be something to address. Some of the things that I see with my clients is, you know, their concern of guests coming in with Clorox bleach and wiping down the leather sofa. And so maybe providing them with things with the right cleaning supplies that they can do those, and even maybe put something in there that politely says, hey, please don't do that. Because we are seeing that out there. People are so concerned. And you can understand, if you're at risk and population, you're coming into a vacation rental, and I have said to you, we have cleaned this spotlessly. How do I trust that? And so if I'm coming in, I'm probably going to wipe things down. You just got to make sure you provide that, or at least let them know about that in advance so they don't damage things. It wouldn't be intentional, I'm sure, on their part. Not everybody thinks about, you know, what Clorox can do, for example.
Sure, sure.
Furniture.
No, I think that's great, actually. So we can not only prepare financially for perhaps another stay-at-home order, but we can also prepare for those shortages we experienced in March when it was tough to get a can of Lysol and or toilet paper. So that's right. That's another great insight.
One of the really big things, and I mean, generally speaking, we should all be concerned about this no matter what, and that's Wi-Fi. Just making sure that your router, your Wi-Fi is super stable. You might even, if you have a local cleaner or somebody that's a local contact, have a MiFi available, because here's what's going to happen with people working from home. The number one most important thing is the internet. I mean, the air conditioner can break and they'll be less concerned than they will about the internet because they got to work. So if you're going to invite those midterm stays, work from home type people in, that's probably the primary thing I would be focused on.
What's a MiFi?
It's simply a cellular based little Wi-Fi hotspot that you can use, and you can get pretty broadband versions of that in most locations that work good.
Gotcha. Okay. And that is, I didn't think about that too. One thing, just listeners, this is just, I've had to learn this the hard way. Steve brought up a really good point. Part of your turnover protocol should be your team checking the status of the Wi-Fi. There is nothing more frustrating than a guest checking in and the Wi-Fi is down. So if you can, and a lot of times it's honestly someone turned the router off when they were checking out and they kind of flipped all the switched and unplugged everything and it just became unplugged. But I think if you make that part of your turnover protocol, you know, when they check, when your turnover team is there, make sure their phone connects to Wi-Fi every time. That way, if they're just starting to get that clean started, they can alert you, holy smokes, there's something going on with the Wi-Fi, or they can go through the reboot while they're cleaning and save you a ton of time, because that is super frustrating. Someone checks in, they can't get online. And obviously, that's a ripple effect of they can't get on their computer, they most likely probably can't get on the television. And then it's just like, is it a day or how long does it take for you to fix that? So that's something that I think put in that protocol for your turnover team.
Well, and I know there are a lot of Wi-Fi services offer not only for an upgrade, the ability to be put on a priority situation. If your Wi-Fi does go out, they'll come out same day. Usually you have to sign up for a business account, but I mean, it's well worth that extra fee because Steve, I know the anger of a guest who can't get on Wi-Fi for 24 hours. If I say, oh, they'll be out there tomorrow, that's not good enough. And also those whole home systems, I'll go ahead and, you know, Eros, I think it's called. I can monitor those from my phone from all my short-term rentals. So it's just nice that I have the other level of control, or at least knowing what they look like, you know, what the Wi-Fi connection looks like.
Yeah, there are a lot of routers now that you can see if they're active remotely, you know, run a Griffin. And I can see every time somebody logs into that particular as a guest or not. And you can control the internet from there. You can even restart the router. And they're
what's it
they're
called, Steve?
It's called a Griffin.
Look that one up too.
$200. So it's not a cheap router, but it definitely, I mean, if you think about it, if you can resolve one guest issue between the difference of price of a cheap router, it's well worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's super secure as well. So I have four kids. I need to be able to control my router.
Well, that's the great thing too, actually. I can see who's logging in, how many devices are on. I mean, it's just that nice control of, yes, you're staying with me. And yes, all you're doing is private, but I still have to make sure what you're doing is in compliance.
And I do think there, what we are talking about on this episode, that Wi-Fi is post COVID, everyone is more connected than ever now, and no matter what the age of your guest is, whether they still are on vacation, they still could be working now because they're like, hey, I can jump on that conference call, I can jump on that Zoom call. So I do think, listeners, Wi-Fi, wherever you were pre-COVID, you need to probably up-level that Wi-Fi game moving forward, like ASAP.
When we stayed in the vacation home, that's what we had to do. You know, I have three gamers and all of us are streaming. My wife teaches China, you know, so it was, and we literally had to call the manager and just ask, and we paid to upgrade the bandwidth. So
you already encountered it then, that it wasn't, because your family truly wasn't on vacation. So you're like, sure, kids, everybody bring their gaming device for this midterm stay.
We have a fiber optic connection here and we didn't even think about it till we got there and went, uh-oh, we're in trouble.
What download and upload speeds do you recommend, Steve?
You know, the strongest you can possibly
okay, get. Whatever here. Money can buy.
You know, that's my, today, it's, you know, it's not like it used to be. So it just, everybody in the family is always connected. And now suddenly, and just a few months time, everybody's on Zoom or some form of video conferencing. So it's just the bandwidth necessary to support a family is pretty massive all of a sudden.
So one, I want to circle back really quick before we wrap up the episode here soon, but you were speaking of that there are probably some emerging midterm rental sites. Where can our listeners find out when those are released? Do you have any insight there or how can they?
At your website, because I'm going to tell you all about them and then you can, yeah. So I can't list a group right now, but okay. I have anecdotally heard of various ones coming out, you know, even existing ones that are making that more focus. Even Airbnb has said that, but okay. I know there's some dedicated sites that are launching for that.
So why don't, we'll just circle back that, Steve, once you know about those, let's have you back on and we'll maybe specifically go through those and pros and cons and just let our listeners know that they're available.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. Great. Steve, thank you so much for your time and your expertise. If our listeners wanted to find more about you and what you offer on the short-term rental industry, how can they do that?
There's a couple ways. One is LinkedIn. If you're on LinkedIn, I'm real active there. So just hit me up, Steve Trover. Easy to find. There's only one of us on LinkedIn. So, and then my website is Laveer, LAVEER, and co.com. And we primarily work with vacation rental companies of scale on their people problems, but we do all sorts of consulting in the industry and be happy to help.
So. That would be wonderful. And as always, listeners, we will make sure our show notes are robust so that if you are driving or jogging right now, you can check back and get Steve's information from our show notes. But Steve, thank you as always for being a short-term rental advocate and for being a voice of reason on here on the podcast. We really appreciate you and your time.
Absolutely. Thanks again for having me.
All right, listeners, I am Sarah.
I'm Annette. And together we are
Thanks for visiting. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products. From hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers, we've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.